Well, we're going to be looking at God's Word for a number of weeks this summer. I'm talking about spiritual gifts, and I encourage you to prepare your heart to dig into this topic with me and to discover God's truth about spiritual gifts, discover your own spiritual gift, and then seek to deploy that spiritual gift. Let's pray together as we begin. God, we recognize that we are fully dependent upon you and your work in our life. And we ask, Lord, that you would do a mighty thing right now as we meet, as we look at your word, as we discuss it, as we seek to apply it. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would come and you would cause this word to not just be my words, but your word coming through my spirit, by your Holy Spirit, into the spirits of each person here, and then radiating from their spirit into their thinking, into their doing. We pray, Lord, that your word would transform us as a whole community of believers, that it would empower us to be more like Jesus than we were when we first arrived. We pray that your word would be working in us in such a way, Lord, that we represent you well as we move around in this community and wherever God might send us. And we ask all of this, Lord, that you might be glorified. So now send your spirit to bring an activation of your gifts. Give me prophetic gifting as I seek to also teach and exhort. May mercy also come so that my words come with that touch of your love. And may each ear be activated, each spirit activated to receive. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, please. We've been looking at Romans chapter 12 as a congregation for quite a number of weeks, actually into last year, quite a ways. And we've laid a foundation of theology. We turn to chapter 12 and we start bringing application of all this theology into Christian living. And it's so important to recognize as we dig into spiritual gifts, the context in which spiritual gifts are discussed. The context in which spiritual gifts is discussed. If you are looking at the Corinthians portion of Scripture, where spiritual gifts are talked about in Corinthians 12 and 14, you would probably all know that right in the middle of them is Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. And there the context is very much there has to be this attitude of love that is being guiding all of our use of any spiritual gifts. Well, the same is true here in Paul's teaching to the Romans. Love is crucial for us to understand and then apply and use our spiritual gifts. So let's set the context of love in the context of grace by starting at the beginning of chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, your spiritual worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we, because of God's mercy, are offering ourselves as living sacrifices. Part of the process of doing that is letting God renew our minds, our understanding, our perceptions, our abilities to then live out God's truth. He goes on in verse 3 to say, for by the grace given me, I say to you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So he's received grace. He's bringing a message to them. His message is, look at how much faith God has given you. Look at the measure of faith that God has given you. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In other words, you and you and you and you and you, you're not individuals. You are individuals connected together to form one entity, the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers. We form a church that's part of a larger church body. Together, we make up Christ's body, but we all are necessary. We all have a role to play. We all are called by God and empowered by God to do what God wants us to do so we can be what God wants us to be. Verse 6. We have different gifts. And I'll pause there because the words used in our English Bibles are translations of Greek words. The New Testament was written in Greek. Knowing which words are in the original are important in their study of spiritual gifts. Here, the Greek word that is used is charismata. Charismata. We all have different charismata according to the charis given us. See the connection? Charismata is the word for grace. We all have different grace expressions according to the grace given to each of us. That's hugely important as we go any further. If we're going to look at spiritual gifts, we need to see what they really are. They're gifts of God, but they are gifts of grace. A charismata is a grace thing. A spiritual gift is a grace thing. In fact, the word spiritual gift, those two words put together, is never in the original language. English translators have put that in there to say, this might be the thing that most helps people understand what we're talking about. But if you don't understand the background behind that word, it can lead into confusion. Sometimes people think, well, I've got a gift. I've got this ability from God. Therefore, I'm important, and I'll use this ability, and it'll make me look good. The church will appreciate me. I'll get some strokes. I'll get some encouragement because I've got this talent, this ability to do something. But if you start thinking of this as a talent, you're missing the very foundation of what it is. It is a grace. It is a gift. It is a free thing that God has bestowed from His Spirit upon you as an individual so that you fit into the body. Spiritual gifts are graces of God. And he says right at the very beginning of this teaching, we all have different graces given to us according to the grace given to us. He's almost being redundant. We have graces because of grace. Now, if you stretch that out, it means that you have God-given abilities so that God's grace can flow through you to somebody else. We all have different charismata according to the charis given to each of us. And then this next session starts listing them, except they, again, try to add words to help us understand what it means. In the second half of verse 6, the translation I'm reading says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according with your faith. But the word gift is not in the original. He just has these phrases that he repeats after each other, after setting the foundation. What does that mean? It means it all links back to his first point. All of these things he's going to list now come from his statement that you have been given grace according to the grace given to you. You've been given grace expressions according to the grace given to you. So what are these grace expressions? Well, here are seven listed. If your grace is prophesying, then prophesy according or in accordance with your faith. If your grace is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. Or we could use the word exhortation. If your grace is exhorting, then exhort. Then next, if your grace is giving, then give generously. If your grace is to lead, then lead diligently. If your grace is to show mercy, then do so cheerfully. These seven could be called the motivation gifts. And I'd like that word to be stuck in your thinking over the next few weeks as we're evaluating what's taught in Romans versus what's taught in Corinthians versus what's taught in Ephesians. These are really the motivating gifts that God gives to individuals so that because of God's grace, they see things through God's lenses. They see opportunities through God's values and God's priorities. God bestows these motivating gifts so that a person looks at a situation and says, I need to jump into that situation. God is prompting me to get involved. God has given me a passion to somehow help so that God will get glory, so that people will be blessed, so that the message of Christ will be extended. These are the things that motivate you into ministry. Some people were motivated to spend a week or two at Bible camp pouring into kids the last 2 weeks. What was behind that? What was initiating that? What was causing them to do that? These are the things that God does by His Spirit, ways He pours out His grace into an individual so that they want to participate in God's plan. Now, before we dig into many deeper, let's contrast that with what happens in Corinthians. In the book of Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul's talking there about pneumaticus, a different word. The word charismata is there a few times, but the more frequent word is the word pneumaticus. The word pneumaticus has the word pneuma, and if some of you know anything about Greek, pneuma is the word for air or for breath. If you have a disease of the lungs, it might come from that Greek word pneuma. If you think about blowing up an inner tube, you might think about the word pneuma. Pneuma is the word for breath, translated into the word spirit in our Bible. And in Corinthians, Paul's saying, let me teach you about spiritual things. We translate it spiritual gifts, but it's just the word for spiritual. Let me teach you about the spiritual. Let me teach you about the things that flow from the Spirit. Let me teach you about how the Spirit blows through you like a wind to do God's work in you. And he's going to list all these different things in Corinthians that are sometimes lumped all together with these other ones, but they really are distinct, but they are what we call manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In Romans, we're talking about things that are the motivators. In Corinthians, we're talking about things that are manifestations of the Spirit. And the Greek word used for the spiritual gifts is the word pneumaticus, but the word that precedes that in verses 7 and 11 is the word phanerosis, which means manifestation. So we can think of Corinthians as being these things that manifest the Spirit, that manifests God. Now, what's the word manifest mean? It means to make something obvious, to make something seen, to make something noticed. And so in Corinthians, Paul is bringing this teaching to us that here's how the spiritual stuff happens. Here's how the Holy Spirit works to make manifest Christ. And there's a list of spiritual activities there that happen within the body of Christ so that Christ is seen, Christ is noticed, Christ is elevated, Christ is given credit for ministering amongst the body. There's a different listing, some overlap of a few things that we'll notice as we dig into that list. But what's the two differences? Romans is the things that a person is motivated to do by the Spirit. In Corinthians, it's the ways that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself so that God gets glory. Two different things. One more verse that's oftentimes used and lumped into this whole concept of spiritual gifts. But again, it's different words being used, so we have to be careful and back up and understand what's going on there. It's Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12. And there it's going to talk about the different people that God has raised up to operate in the church. The different people that God has raised up to play roles in the church. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It was He, God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Major difference there between Romans and Corinthians. In Romans, you have graces of God given to motivate people into ministry. In Corinthians, you have the spiritual, the pneumaticus, the outworkings of the Holy Spirit to make manifest Christ. In Ephesians, you have God raising up individuals, giving them supernatural abilities to play a role in the body of Christ. And the purpose of that role is to build up the individual believer. So really, if you're going to use the word gift at all to describe the Ephesians passage, you would have to say that that individual is the gift. That individual is called to be an apostle. That individual is called to be a prophet. That one's called to be an evangelist. That one a pastor, and that one a teacher. These people are the spiritual gifts. They have supernatural callings to play a role to build up the body of Christ. So as you can see from a brief summary, we've got three major passages oftentimes lumped together to talk about spiritual gifts, but we need to back way up and say, wait, these are very different passages, very different words being used, very different concepts being used, very different roles and persons involved in them. Now, how does this relate to you? Maybe you are listed in that last list from Ephesians. Maybe God has called one of you to be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. These are roles that God has given. And we're going to describe each one of them in more detail over the coming weeks. Maybe one of you is called to play that role. An apostle leads. He starts new things. He initiates. Oftentimes, missionaries who go to new areas have an apostolic gifting. Or people who start new ministries have an apostolic gifting. Some are prophets. They're called by God to declare God's truth and call people to account and bring people into an encounter with the truth of Christ so that there's decisions being made as a prophetic gifting. Some people are called to be evangelists, where they really have the ability to recognize the lost and the need for the lost to come into a relationship. And so they are personally doing evangelism, but also initiating evangelism. Because if you notice the setting here, these five roles are called to cause the church to do ministry, so that to prepare God's people for works of service. So he might be the one that, or she might be the one that's initiating evangelism, or the pastor, the caregiver, the one who shepherds, the one who nurtures, or the teacher, the one who explains and brings truth. Maybe you're one of those. Maybe you haven't even thought of it that way before. But when you were born spiritually, God started working inside of your spirit and calling you into a relationship with him and giving you a role to play in his kingdom. It might be it's one of these five. Not everybody is called to be one of these five. Or you go back to Corinthians, the manifestations of the Spirit, the phanerosis. These are the things that God does when the body gathers, when the body cares for each other, when the body ministers. Oftentimes these are activated most when the body is really seeking to worship God and love one another and speak truth to one another. These things happen. These are sometimes referred to as the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit as he works through his people to do things that bring him glory and make him manifest amongst them. Maybe you've seen some of those happen. Maybe God has done some of those through you. And then where we started in Romans, what is it that motivates you? What is it that really gets your heart? How has the Holy Spirit worked inside of you to give you a passion and a desire to be involved in caring for others or helping others? These seven motivational gifts are given to us according to God's grace. He chooses. He selects. He says, I want to give that person this gift. I want to call that individual into this type of ministry. I want to put this passion inside of that person. But everyone who has been born again, everyone who has the Holy Spirit living inside of them, has at least one of these. You, if you are a follower of Christ with the Spirit of Christ living in you, have one of these motivational gifts. And it might be more than one, but at least one. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. Something that the Holy Spirit has done, that he has brought about, that he has birthed inside of you, that he is doing in you to put you into a place of ministry to the larger body of Christ. Now, there's one more verse I haven't hit yet, but it's related to this set of motivational gifts, and it's from 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. And here again, the word charismata is used, grace things, grace outworking. Graces of God that are displayed in us. But this also is referring to this set of motivational gifts. 1 Peter 4 says, each one should use whatever grace he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever charismata he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's charis. That's how it reads in the original. Then it goes on to explain. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So here's 1 Peter. Peter talking about charismata, grace things. And instead of having the seven listed, he puts them into two categories. What are the two categories? Speaking and serving. Speaking and serving. Dorothy, which category are you in? We have different gifts in one of those two categories. Some are called to speak, and it's a dangerous assignment. Some are called to serve, and that has its benefits and its drawbacks as well. But we each have a spiritual motivation given to us by the grace of God, and it might be in a speaking capacity or a serving capacity. What are the now, if we take the list in Romans and compare it to these two categories from 1 Peter, how do they line up? What are the speaking gifts from Romans, and what are the serving gifts from Romans? If our two categories come from Peter, speaking and serving, and we compare it with the list of seven from Romans, we can put them into two columns. In terms of speaking gifts, we have prophecy, teaching, and exhortation. And that exhortation one is sometimes translated encouragement, but it has more of this coming into an encounter with you and speaking a word that hits and strikes and has effect. So exhortation, encouragement. I'm a slash between those two English words. So those are the motivating spiritual gifts from Romans 12. Which one do you have? Are you an exhorter? Are you a speaker of words that would bring people into encounter with truth? So it might be more of a prophetic gifting. Or are you a teacher, one who wants to explain God's truth? What about service? The category of service, Romans lists four there. Serving, giving, leadership, and mercy. Are you motivated to help the person who's hurting? Are you motivated to see that one that's in a desperate situation and sharing of your resources comes easy to you? Do you want to step in and come alongside someone and help with a physical task? So you're called to serve? Or has God given you an actual gifting for leadership? You want to help bring order and direction and help people be effective and accomplish agreed upon goals. We're going to dig into each of these sections of Scripture more in the coming weeks. But each of you, if you've been born again, has a motivating gift from God, a charismata. As you live out your life of faith in Christ, the Spirit's going to be at work in you, manifesting Christ, doing the phanerosis of the Spirit, making Him known, making Him aware. And it might be like the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit that does something now and something different then. It'll be different as time goes on. It meets the need. Or He might be calling you to play a specific role, or at least recognize that He has given others roles to play in the kingdom of God. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. All of these are from God. He's the author. He's the initiator. And He gives different assignments to different people. Why does He do that? If we remember the context of these spiritual gifts, it's in the context of love. In Romans chapter 12, He says, "Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you." And after teaching on these charismata, He says, "Love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself." In other words, God chooses to make people different. I have 4 kids, and they're also very different. And I look around at you, and you are also very different. Some of you are really different. And that is good and necessary. If everybody was the same, life would get boring. And when you look at the spiritual gifts, there's so much difference to them. And here's the tragedy that happens, in America at least. People with a certain gifting migrate out of one fellowship into another so that they're there with other people the same gifting. So you get all the people with this particular gift over there and all the people with this particular gift over there and then over there, and they divide up amongst gifting. That's not God's plan. We're to be a body with different parts. And we need the different parts. And so whatever gift God has given you, we celebrate that. We rejoice over that because we need each and every gift, each and every charis, each and every grace displayed, each and every pneumaticus, each and every spiritual outflowing. You are a necessary part of the body. Your gifts bless others. And we need them all. So what is yours? What is God doing in you? Let's figure that out over the coming weeks. Let's recognize our gifts and then deploy our gifts. Over the course of the summer, we're going to have 2 Sunday school classes where we're going to have some more time for interaction and feedback and doing some inventories and helping one another recognize their gift. And then think about, before the fall hits, how we can deploy those in ministry this fall. So make sure you note those 2 dates, 1 in July and 1 in August for adult Sunday school classes. And if you have the audacity to be gone that Sunday, make sure you talk to me or the deacons, and we're going to have some follow-up sessions so you can catch up on anything you might have missed. And this might be a great time for you to utilize our webpage and catch up on any sermons you miss on this series, because they're going to be building our understanding of our spiritual gifts that then are launched into the fall. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that the church is your idea, and that you created us to be your sons and daughters, filled with your very Spirit, to do things that you prompt by your Spirit to bring you glory. Forgive us for not being aware of your plan at times. Forgive us for not cooperating and agreeing to and participating in your plan at times. Forgive us for even being against your plan at times. We repent of that and invite you to do a transforming work in us by the renewing of our minds by your truth, so we can fully engage. Not so that we get glory, but so that you get glory. So your church is fully healthy, fully functioning, fully effective, doing all it can to make you famous. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.